studying God's Word that we might abound in grace. This is Abounding Grace. Join us. Again, welcome to the broadcast. Abounding Grace is the name of the program. Our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, takes us to God's Word each and every day here on Abounding Grace with a few moments of encouragement and exhortation from God's Word. Make it a point to join us today as we study God's Word that we might show ourselves approved, encouraged in Christ, growing in our walk with Him. Here now, from United Reformed Church of Linden, our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, with this edition of Abounding Grace.
Well, thank you for joining us today at Abounding Grace. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church. We are very thankful each and every week to bring these radio broadcasts to you that we might open the Word of God and be encouraged together in Christ about all these things that He has revealed to us concerning His beloved Son. Well, this week I want to go back to the book of Genesis, and I want to go back to the early chapters and consider the family. This structure that God gave in ordaining the marriage institution and the family from the beginning, and of course, contrast it with what has happened today in answering this all-important question, can we return to the biblical way? Where is the path of return from this terrible defection from what God had designed at the beginning? As we open the book of Genesis chapter 2, it would be easy this morning to open Genesis and completely miss that we have come to the most shocking verse in the whole creation account in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. You'll remember, of course, in creation, God had repeatedly said, "It was good." Whatever He created, He tacked on that added descriptive statement telling us that He delighted in what He had created, and what He created was pleasing to Him, and it was good, was the repetition. But we come to Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. A very perceptive reader of the Bible cannot help but stop and reflect on this statement, "Then God said, it is not good." This, of course, was God's reflection on the circumstance that Adam was alone. There was no other creature comparable to him. And so seeing this deficiency in the creation of man, God constructs right before us in Genesis chapter 2, the family. Let me say, it's no little issue that this becomes a defining moment of creation. It has always been recognized that the family is the most basic building block of all society. Every human institution today has its origin from the family. Governments, hospitals, colleges, whatever it is, all of these things at the end of the day serve the home and marriages of the family. This is why, of course, the Christian stands up and it makes a bold warning to the world of the implications of the breakdown of the family. When the family is healthy, it has a spillover into society, doesn't it? You will find a society operating in unity and harmony because its very foundation is solid and in place. But when the family institution disintegrates, you only have a matter of time before everything else falls apart. When the family crumbles, so does society. Look, when society morally crumbles, when we're seeing in the U.S. around us and different things go on that are morally bankrupt, it is because marriages have morally crumbled. And when you have a society of morally crumbling marriages prevailing, judgment is imminent. This is what happened at the fall. This is what happened at the flood, Noah's day. And this will be the key characteristic of the apostasy just before Christ comes. Look at the family. I'm not sure today there's ever been a time more distressing than what we're seeing with the disintegration of the family right before our eyes. Marriage and the family today is under attack like never before. Before we look at God's original design, I want to really impress upon us today and the hearers and those who are driving, maybe to work, those who are sitting in their homes, just how serious an issue this really is. James Boyce wrote a lot about this issue, and in his discussion of these things, he spoke of a four-pronged attack upon marriage and the family today. And I believe he hits the nail right on the head. I want to rehearse these with you and comment a bit on each one of them. He says, first, marriage is under attack by the rampant hedonism of our day. You know, nothing could be more true. Hedonism is simply put that which makes people live to do what feels good. It is the pursuit of pleasure. And so we have built a society that basically says, look, as long as it doesn't hurt anyone else, if it makes you feel happy, do it. I hear that all the time as a pastor. If it makes someone happy, then they should do it. So what you've produced in this society then is a me generation living to serve the self. Let me ask, what does that do to marriage? Well, it changes the whole focus and the attitude of marriage. Instead of being a sacrificial relationship built on love and trust, it becomes a self-centered model with the cry, this person is not making me happy. They're not fulfilling what I think they should be doing. They're not pleasing my ideals of what should be happy and full of pleasure. And so our views of sex, our view of lifestyle, belongings, freedom, all these things become avenues to pursue the gratification of our own flesh. And thus the model of sacrifice is destroyed by a pursuit of pleasure. And marriage, which is based on sacrificial giving of one another as each person complements the other in their weaknesses, the institution crumbles. So that's the first thing he says. Second is the widespread acceptance of adultery today. There's even the lie that this is sort of a remedy or tonic for marriage, which is just perverse. Add the many avenues of perversion today, adultery and sexual immorality is destroying the marriage institution. Internet pornography, it's estimated that 266 new sites are being added each day. That over 750,000 children in this life have been pursued by predators. And all of these illegal sites today offering horrendous things that are fueling adultery and fornication and wrong things in the marriage relationship itself. Look, we could choose as Christians to put our head in the sand about all this stuff, but it is the reality going on all around us. Add to that that many states today are legalizing same-sex marriages, implementing fairness doctrines. The marriage institution is under attack, adultery being a key ingredient. Third, he says, is the ease of divorce itself. Many of you know out there, a generation ago, divorce was considered a disgrace and people were shamed to do it. I mean, maybe not all homes were happy. Maybe there was a lot of discord and a lot of fighting in the homes, but at least the children saw their parents stay through it thick and thin. Today, they say almost half are ending in divorce. Imagine what this does to the children who are involved. Finally, Boyce says the legalization of abortion on demand. A woman today, of course, without the father's involvement, can have the child terminated in the womb. And so essentially, the state has given the power to the mother to kill the newest member of the family. And as the statistics go, every minute they say, and I don't know how real these are, this is what they say, but two babies are aborted in the U.S. Thus, in 1 hour, you would have over 120 babies aborted, the newest members of the family. I lay all of this before us today to get a sense of the gravity of the situation and just what is happening and to what extent Satan and his realm is going to dismantle this institution of the family. Nobody out there, I don't care if one is a believer or not, can hear this and say, oh, this is normal. This is normal behavior. It's not. Something has gone terribly wrong. Even the unbeliever has to confess and admit that. The question that we're left with this morning is recovery possible? Well, you hate to say no, because God can do anything he wants to do, but it is bad. We have to go back and ask, what did God intend for this institution at creation? What did he intend for the family? What did he intend for marriages? As the Christians recognize that we are the ones to make a difference. In Christ, our families and marriages are being restored to their original design. And thus, we model to the world what that design truly is. How awful a witness it is when our marriages look no different than the world's. And so we want to go back to Genesis and ask, what had God designed at the beginning? What did God design? What was the goal that he had set forth? And as we look at these things, we need to be pressed to ask that in Christ, how can we again model to the world what the family institution ought to be? This is a grand subject this week that we're going to be taking up, but I begin today, what did God design at creation? Well, if we look at the scriptures and look at the responsibilities that God had given to Adam in the Garden of Eden, we see it very clearly. He was to cultivate and literally guard the Garden of Eden. Adam was not there in an easy chair. God had given Adam this grand priestly opportunity to guard the holy place. Remember, the Garden of Eden was the place where God dwelt, where his throne was. And Adam had the privilege to guard and protect the kingdom sanctuary from intruders. Because remember, in the very next chapter, chapter 3 of Genesis, the devil sneaks into the garden, into the holy place, and Adam should have stood up and crushed his head. But I want to spend today, this week, the other aspect of Adam's responsibility, what God had designed. We go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. This is what we read. Then God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Do you hear that? Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and exercise dominion. So when we come to chapter 2, what we find is that God is ordaining the family structure and the marriage relationship in order to fulfill this great commission. Not only was Adam to keep the garden, but with that comes the commission to fill the whole earth with your royal kind, Adam. And so essentially, Adam was with procreation to produce a whole kingdom of priests and kings to our God who would worship him in beauty and in harmony and in a way that would glorify him. Adam was assigned this grand responsibility. If later Christ would come and reproduce and bring about this kingdom of priests, Adam was first to create the first kingdom of priests. How was this supposed to be? Well, it wasn't just chaos where everyone was having sexual relations with whomever they felt like. What God did at creation was create a pair united as one, essentially a family. And through these family units, the whole kingdom of God would be constructed to where? The ends of the earth. Fill the earth, the Lord said. Fill the earth and subdue it, exercise dominion. Friends, today, if you're hearing this, you cannot look at the world and say, oh my, look at the mess that we are in. A sad departure from what God had said at the beginning. We're going to be looking at that this week. But the only path of return, if you are in a marriage today that's crumbling and have disobedient children, all these things that flow out of this, is Jesus Christ. He restores marriages to what they were and are to be. At creation. Let's go back to Genesis this week and again ask how we might glorify God in our marriages. We give you a sincere invite to join us this Sunday at the Linden United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. We promise not to entertain you, we promise not to tickle your ears and make you feel good, but actually we promise to preach to you Christ Jesus in season and out of season, the Word of God, which is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. are the worship service times. You may visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.